Ladies and gentlemen, we are thrilled to be able to bring to you the defensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles from the Senior Bowl, Jim Schwartz. Hi, Jim.
Good morning.
Hey, Jim, we're thrilled to have you in Philadelphia. It's awesome news that we got you.
I'm happy to be here, other than the fact that I might have to do a six-month stint in Betty Ford for tasty cake addiction. I grew up in Baltimore, so I've been missing my tasty cakes.
Oh, well, it's great to have you back in the area. Hey, Jim, let's start with this. I've watched you on the sidelines. It's obvious how much you love the sport of football. What do you love about it?
Just about everything. You know, I graduated from Georgetown, and, you know, sort of the path least taken, never taken, to become a coach from there. You know, but I decided what way can I combine my hobby with my profession? And that was really the only way for me. I love the strategy of the game. I love the interaction with the players. I love the competition of game day. I like the grind of game planning. You know, there's nothing about it I don't like. You know, my whole career, I never really felt like I've gone to work.
Wow. That's what I've sensed by watching you coach, that you're really in your element there. Can you describe for Philadelphia what a Jim Schwartz defense should look like, what the prototype would be?
Well, you know, it's going to be a little different every year. Next year will be different than this year. 2 years from now will be different because we'll have different players. And I think coaches' jobs is to try to find the best position to put those players in. But common denominators you'll see, you know, traditionally, you know, we're going to be tough. We're going to be physical. We're going to attack. We're going to put pressure on the quarterback. You know, I think those are the things that sort of carry over from, you know, from year to year. Those are sort of our, you know, starting points. You know, how do we best serve ourselves being tough and physical and rushing the passer? And, you know, traditionally we'll put a lot of emphasis on things like third down, red zone, situational football, things that get you off the field. You know, I really don't care about how many yards we give up. It's all about points and things that stop points like turnovers and third down percentage and, you know, red zone, stuff like that. Those are the things we'll emphasize.
Well, you just described exactly what the Philadelphia sports fan likes in a football team. You're the Brian Dawkins kind of player. So what I'm trying to figure out, Jimmy, when they came to you and said we'd like you to be the defensive coordinator, did it occur to you that it was a great fit, Jim Schwartz in Philadelphia?
Well, I certainly did my research.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of attractive parts of this job. I said in the press conference last week, ownership meant an awful lot to me. And Jeffrey Lurie was certainly part of the attraction of coming here. Doug Peterson being an offensive coach, I thought I could really contribute and help him defensively, be able to rely on some of my experiences. I thought that was good. But, you know, I'm going to be honest. I looked at the players. You know, I looked at just about every game Philadelphia played last year. You know, and I remember playing, you know, these guys a bunch of times and looked at a lot of these players coming out of college. And that was part of the attraction here. I think we have some really good defensive players. I think we can help them out, put them in maybe a little bit different position and emphasize their strengths a little bit more. And, you know, that had as much to do with me coming here as anything.
You will change the scheme, Jim. Everybody assumes you'll go more to a 4-3. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
We're not going to be a 2-gap 3-4.
Right.
You know, I want those defensive linemen to be attacking. I want those guys to be creating, you know, wreaking some havoc and putting pressure on the quarterback. They're not going to be playing at the line of scrimmage and grabbing guys and trying to keep the linebackers clean. You know, I think we have some good guys up front. We can you know, take the handcuffs off them a little bit and get some more production out of them.
Hey, Jim, you started your coaching career with Bill Belichick in Cleveland. Is that correct?
I did.
All right. Let's start with that. What did you take from working with him?
Let me say this. I wasn't exactly starting my coaching career there.
Okay.
I was picking up people at the airport. I was running out and getting cigarettes for secretaries and filing papers and, you know, about every bit of entry-level grunt work you can do. My salary was zero. You know, but Bill always had an appreciation for people that were willing to start that way because he started that way in 1975 with the Baltimore Colts. I think he made $20 a week.
Wow.
Working for Ted Marchibroda. So, You know, the best part about that job was the fact that I got to sit in and listen to Bill Belichick and Nick Saban and Kirk Ferentz and Scott O'Brien and Ozzie Newsome. And, I mean, I could go on for probably a half hour, all the people that were in that building. I like to tell people that was my Ph.D. in footballology right there. You know, and it wasn't, and with Bill Belichick, I think the biggest thing that he, well, there were a couple things. One is his philosophy of trying, he called it make the opponent play left-handed, meaning take away what they do well and make them do something else. If they're a great running team, take the run away and make them beat you throwing the ball. You know, if they're a great passing team, take the pass away, make them beat you running the ball. You know, that carried over, you know, just about everything he's done. And you need to be multidimensional with a scheme to be able to do that. And I always liked the way that Belichick teams, you know, can morph from week to week. One week they play a lot of eight-man front. The next week they play a lot of two-deep coverages. And it's all about what opponent they're playing and what's best served to win that game. The other thing that was learned from Bill was every bit that touches the team was important to him. There was nothing that he, you know, sort of ignored, whether it was travel, cafeteria, training camp schedule. Everything that touched the team was important. And, you know, and I think that set a great example. He was the hardest working guy in the building. And I think, you know, we all learned a lot from that work ethic also.
Good guy to learn from. Hey, Jim, when you got to Detroit as a head coach in 2009, you were 2-14 your first season, and now Doug starts. Could you talk a little bit about the challenges of being a first-year head coach in the NFL? How tough is that?
You know, you're never really – everybody says you're not ready for it because there's things that come up, and I think there is some truth to that. You know, you're used to, you know, concentrating on one side of the ball or having a different scope. Maybe if you're a college coach or, you know, if you're an offense coordinator or a defensive coordinator, the job changes all of a sudden. You know, like I said with Bill Belichick, there's a lot of other things that come to your plate, whether it's, you know, corporate sponsorships, whether it's media, whether it's, you know, different stuff with players. You know, there's a lot of things that tend to dilute your concentration. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that's a little bit different. You know, I took over an 0-16 team. So I had a little bit of license to change whatever I wanted and, you know, and do whatever I needed to do. Now, it's probably a little bit different here. This team's, I think, in a little obviously in a little different position.
Yeah.
You know, the cupboard was bare there. It was 0-16. I'm excited about, you know, what we have here, the pieces we have, and what we can accomplish next year.
For good or bad, in 2011, you had a terrific year with the Lions and got them in the playoffs, but you're remembered primarily for the incident with Jim Harbaugh. Is that good or bad, Jim, that you're defined by something, but it was not necessarily has anything to do with your career as a coach? How did that incident impact your career?
Ah, man, there's a lot of water gone under the bridge since then. It was funny.
I know.
We both shared a flight from Nashville to Detroit last year. And we were both sitting next to each other in the airport, you know, chatting. He was he had just taken the job at Michigan. And, you know, I was still heading up to Detroit. And people were walking by us, like, pretending they were talking on their phones and they were snapping photos because I think they thought we were going to break out and fight any minute. I've known Jim for a long time. Jim was the starting quarterback when I was a coach with the Baltimore Ravens. I always joke that, that incident was because of the San Diego game in 1998, and I think he completed six passes. But, you know, here's the thing. In the NFL, I think you have to be who you are. You know, I think players can see through guys. If you're a quiet, reserved guy and you try to be, you know, fiery and loud, players are going to see through that. Fans are going to see through that. And conversely, if you're a vocal guy and you try to dial it down, you know, players and fans and everybody else are going to see that. You know, you need to be who you are. You need to embrace that. And I think, you know, Jim has probably done that in his career, and I hope that I've done it in my career. But I certainly hope that doesn't define either one of us. We've both done a lot of different things, whether it's college or NFL, and the spirit of competition, what happens during games, I think it just lets people know how intense that competition is and how much we both want to win. and how important winning is to us. And I hope our fans know that winning is going to be very important to us, and we're not going to take it lightly if we lose.
Well, one of the things that impressed me when you were in Buffalo, because you had a great defense the year you were there in 14, Jim, was that when you beat Detroit, your teammate, your players carried you off the field, which is very unusual for an assistant coach. That tells me that there was a bond there. How important is it to you as a coach that those players want to play as hard as they can for you? And how do you do it? How do you get that?
You know, I don't know if there's a formula for doing it. You know, that meant an awful lot to me because, like you said, it did let me know that, you know, that it was important for them. But it was all, they also realized how important it was for me. And they were happy for all of our success right there. You know, I think that, you know, scheme, people talk about scheme, people talk about, you know, coaching and technique and things like that. But the emotion of football means an awful lot. The bonds that you create. I mean, like I said, I got into this game because I love the competition. I love the camaraderie. You know, I started off my first couple of years in Cleveland working in scouting, and I missed the locker room. I missed being the interaction with the players all the time. You know, that's an important part of this game. We're not playing chess. We're not, you know, doing calculus, you know, things like that, that, you know, is just formula. We're out there competing and relying on your teammates, relying on your coaches means an awful lot. And, you know, I hope that we can create those kind of bonds here also.
Jim, my last thing, and I thank you very much for this. I think we've all learned a lot just by this conversation. You ended up last year being a consultant to the officials, to the refs. And I'm real curious if I know what they got out of it. They were trying to get a head coach's perspective on calls and refereeing. Do you know better now what a pass interference is, what a catch is? Are you better prepared? Do you know more because you work with them?
Angelo, no question. No question. Really, the reason I did it, a couple coaches had done it in years that they were sitting out.
Right.
Jeff Fisher, Lovie Smith, and Jeff Fisher was the one that called me and asked me to do it. So it was 2 days a week. I flew up on Tuesday and spent most of the day Tuesday and then all day Wednesday and then flew out on Wednesday night. So it wasn't a full-time gig. It was only a part-time gig. And I think I was able to help them in a lot of ways, sort of through a coach's eyes, tell them how something was being coached, whether it just accidentally happened on the field or if it was something that was coached. And, you know, it sort of helped them officiate different plays, gave them a different set of eyes on it. It also helped me because I got access to all the game tapes, so I could stay current. I could watch every game every week. You know, and so that was important to me also. And then lastly, I was sort of able to infiltrate the enemy, so to speak. You know, I was able to see through their eyes what triggers a call. We all know, as coaches, we all know what pass interference and a catch and everything else is. But, you know, it's a different perspective when you sit in with the officials. And first of all, you see how hard they work and how competent they really are. It's really amazing. You know, there's well-documented mistakes. But over the course of a season, over the course of, you know, multiple games and everything else, they grade out very, very well. You know, I don't think the public really gets to see that. But, you know, it doesn't matter what I think a foul is. It doesn't matter what the player thinks a foul is. It doesn't matter what you or your listeners think a foul is. It's only the official's opinion that counts. And be able to get some insight into what creates that, you know, call means an awful lot. Because we have to coach to that standard. We can't coach to what we think is a foul, or the player can't play to what he thinks is a foul. He has to play to the standard that the official puts out. You know, it's a little bit like baseball in a strike zone.
Yep.
You know, if a guy's going to call it and it's, you know, it's a couple inches off the black, if he's going to call it, well, you better swing at it. You know, or else you're going to get rung up looking. So, you know, I think that was probably the best part. Plus, be able to form some relationships with some of the guys in there. You know, I think that there's a lot of mutual respect between coaches and officials. And, you know, situations like that increase that bond and increase that respect.
You've had a fascinating career already, Jim, and it's going to get even more interesting this year. Thank you so much for doing this. Nothing but success in Philadelphia. We're all rooting for you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Jim Schwartz.
There are lots of things you can spend your tax refund on, but one thing you don't have to spend it on? A new smartphone. Switch to MetroPCS now and get not one, but two free 4G LTE smartphones for brands like Samsung and LG. Plus, you're on T-Mobile's blazing fast nationwide 4G LTE network. Hurry, switch to MetroPCS and get two free smartphones after instant rebate. One heck of a deal, only at MetroPCS. Limited time offer. Sales tax not included in phone price. Coverage and services not available everywhere. See store for details and terms and conditions.